The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
One of our regular features on this program is a preview of the amazing performances and presentations by UWM's Peck School of the Arts, the only school of the arts in the University of Wisconsin system. On this edition of UWM Today, we welcome back Scott Emmons, the dean of the Peck School. And today we not only have a preview of what's coming up this spring, but a look at some of the truly unique community initiatives that bring the arts to everyone. Hey, Scott, welcome back.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here again.
You know, we have you on a few times a year taking a look at all that the Peck School produces. And this week we thought it would be nice to dive a little bit deeper into some projects that people may not be aware are taking place or underway in the Peck School itself.
Yeah, these are some of the things that don't make our yearly calendar, but really provide a special, special, unique opportunity for our students. You know, we like to connect with the community as much as we can in the Peck School of the Arts, and we'd like to engage with community members in solving lots of different problems. We believe that artists look at things just a little bit differently, can help come up with really, really very interesting solutions.
Well, and one of the greatest examples that I've seen recently is a wonderful story that actually was featured prominently in the journal Sentinel involving Frankie Flood, one of the fabulous faculty members that you folks have in Peck.
Right. It involved Frankie Flood and also Adrian Blair, both of the art and design department. And what they did is helped a little girl who was born without fingers and without a hand, and they helped design a hand for her that's actually very, very functional. Now, this student is from Maquonago, and the collaboration was with a student, UWM Art and Design undergraduate students, and also with Shea is the girl's name, with her third grade class from Maquonago. They all had a part in designing this hand, this device that's usable that was crafted in our digital, in our design craft research lab at UWM in the Kenilworth Studios.
And who would ever think that this would come out of a Peck school or an arts program? But in fact, it was a wonderful collaboration that, as I understand it, not only involved the people here at the school, but sort of a crowdsourcing event that looked even beyond Milwaukee.
It really is. It's a national project. It's a part of a national project. And this young lady asked for a hand for Christmas, and it didn't quite make it for Christmas, but it did make it for February. And so the parent of this young lady looked online for hand projects and got in touch with our art and design department, with Frankie Flood and Adrian Blair, who have unique skills in this research lab that they have of doing 3D printing. And there were plans available online, and what our faculty members and our students were able to do is to actually create something specially made for this young lady and actually improve on the different plans. Now, there are some different choices that have to be made when creating a hand. One of the choices is, how functional do you want it to be? And the other choice is, how much do you want it to look like a regular hand? And they came to kind of a unique solution, I think. They asked the young lady, Shea, what her favorite colors were, and they got printing materials, 3D printing materials, to really come in the colors that she was interested in. Of course, some of the boys that were her classmates thought, you know, let's make it look like a regular hand as much as possible. No way. Shea and her friends, the girl, said, hot pink. And so her hand is a hot pink hand. It's controlled by moving the wrist forward. If you move the wrist forward, it makes the fingers grab an object. And if you move the wrist back, it makes it release.
You know, this is one of those remarkable stories where
you see the university, the faculty, and in this case, the students at the university working alongside those faculty, sort of breaking out of the mold, because most of the time, if you had an individual who needed a replacement for a limb or part of the limb, you would send them off to a prosthetics lab and say, well, you know, there must be something that is being done out there that you could take off the shelf. But in this case, it really was a matter of both art and design coming together and engineering to make this unique hand or part of a hand for this youngster. What a fabulous story.
It is. It's a great story. And because, you know, kids grow and this hand will need to be redesigned over the years so that it can grow with her. And every time that the hand is redesigned, it's open source. So the plans are posted online and other people can use these resources for solving the similar kinds of problems.
Scott, talk a little bit about the involvement of the students, the university students in this. How did they help contribute to a positive outcome?
The undergrad students from UWM, the students in Frankie and a Dream's class, were involved in designing. So they were doing a computer-assisted design of the hand and the many, many different parts to the hand. And the students were involved then in actually doing the printing. 3D printing is a little bit time-consuming, but what it does is it layers many, many layers of plastic. So instead of putting ink on the page, it puts layers of plastic to build an object. And so we had printers going all night long to actually build the different parts of this hand. And so the students were involved in the design, the modeling on the computer, and also the printing of this object.
What a fabulous learning experience that that these students can take with them as they go off and ultimately begin their careers.
That's right.
Yeah, and I recall seeing some pictures of Shay's fellow classmates, the grade school kids who came along to the university and visited the lab, and that must have been pretty fun to have youngsters on the campus involved in this design of their classmate's hand.
I think it was a great experience for the children, and I think it was also a great eye-opener for them to see the different broad ways in which someone can have a career in the arts.
Yeah, well, wonderful work by Adrian Blair and Frankie Flood. And again, for folks who might want to see images of this, they can go to the JS Online and go ahead and just type in Shea's hand, S-H-E-A apostrophe S hand, and you'll see this great story that appeared on the front of the Q section. Okay, well, other community initiatives. There's another one that is called the Arts Eco Project. Tell us about that, Scott.
The Arts Eco Project is a project that's funded by the Margaret A. Cargill Foundation. And what this is an educational outreach project where our arts education specialists will partner with different teachers, different art teachers out in the field, for example, MPS art teachers and other regional art teachers. And what they'll be doing is having a program where they can really determine the place of arts education in the school. So how can it fit among all the subject matter in the school? It will help with supporting young teachers and developing teachers and providing mentorship opportunities for the different teachers.
So is this replacing something that used to be in place, or is this an entirely new initiative in terms of arts education?
I think this take on it is new. It's a great way of getting teachers together to learn how to better educate students in southeast Wisconsin.
Because over the years, especially during the economic downturn of the last 4 or 5 years, we've unfortunately heard stories of some schools cutting back on art education and music for that part. What I've heard is that the pendulum seems to be perhaps swinging back in a more positive direction.
It is. People have really determined that there's a great value to having these arts education opportunities in the public schools. And so teachers are coming back. There's a little challenge right now, actually, in filling these positions in the different schools. And UWM is being heavily involved then in the training and the retraining of teachers just to make them more successful in the classroom.
So does art education change in the grade schools and high schools? I'm thinking back to way back when I was taking my first art classes, which, by the way, failed miserably. My wife will tell you my drawings are prehistoric looking. But thinking back, you know, it was like once a week, and it was very rote. And have we evolved from those days where if you had it, you had it, and if you didn't, you're just out of luck?
Well, I think because of some of the community outreach that we're seeing in the arts, I think a lot of students are finding that they can successfully participate in the arts in more of a community engagement type of activity. And so there are special problems that can be solved even for middle school kids, elementary school kids, high school kids, about making the urban landscape more beautiful. For example, creating art surrounding a public garden, creating art that can be displayed along with the public gardens and so on. I think it's just a great way for the students to make the community all look better.
So, what a far cry from the days where art in the school then was learning how to draw a tree and maybe a seagull if you're lucky.
Yeah. Of course, there's that skill development is still a part of it, but we're applying the skills more now.
I had a tough time with seagulls, just so you know. But that's another program. We won't talk about that. Okay. Theater department is also involved in some community initiatives. What do you have for us on that one?
Right. Couple of very, very interesting things. Ann Bastings has been working in the theater department now for, I guess it's been somewhere around 10 years, just doing wonderful, wonderful work. Her work has been featured on the Today Show in the last couple of years. But she's partnered with many of the elder care facilities in southeast Wisconsin, for example, Luther Manor, Catholic and Jewish homes, to provide programming that's really, really helpful in the care of Alzheimer's and dementia and other issues. One of the things that started this a few years back is that Anne partnered with the Sojourn Theater on a project that was called the Penelope Project. And so what she did with some people who were living at Luther Manor is to engage in a lot of movement and storytelling activities. And then these people wrote and rewrote Homer's Odyssey. And then they had a performance at Luther Manor of Homer's Odyssey, or of their version of Homer's Odyssey. And this was also featured in a documentary film that was created. And so it was just a great way to use the arts to help out with some problems that we're finding in elder care and to engage with community members through the arts, through storytelling in particular.
So is that program continuing today, or has it evolved from those first performances?
It has evolved. There are a couple of things happening this summer that I think are really, really interesting. One of the projects that Anne's leading is something called Crossings. And this is an awareness project where political leaders throughout Milwaukee and in the region and senior adults and artists will be combining forces at different really challenging intersections to raise awareness about how it's important that people watch for senior adults, watch for people when they're crossing streets. And so they're actually designing kind of a play where they will be sailing across these intersections to raise awareness of the difficulties that we have in our elder years.
Well, who are they working with on? Does the Department of Transportation get involved in this too, or the city? Or
our city is engaged with this project as well as a lot of senior centers.
Neat, neat. What else is going on in that area?
We're also going to be having this summer a summer workshop, where people from around the country will be trained in how we can use the arts in elder care. So how we can use the arts to help people that are that have dementia or have Alzheimer's. This has been a part of an ongoing summer program that Ann Bastings has hosted over the years, and it really has been beneficial to people that come here to Milwaukee to be trained in different ways of care.
Well, and the great thing about Ann is she really has become recognized as a national leader in this area, a groundbreaker, if you will, by virtue of her use of theater, and how nice that she's able to go ahead and help others replicate that in different parts of the country.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, as I said, she was on the Today Show, and she's had numerous interviews, and it's just a great gift to Milwaukee.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great stuff. Also this summer, you've got the film series coming up, right, as part of this program?
Yeah, as part of this program, there are several different documentaries that that are going to be shown about exploring the arts and also the aging process. One of these documentaries was one that was sponsored by Public TV a few years back called Almost Home. And that was a documentary that received lots of attention from Milwaukee documentary filmmaker Brad Lichtenstein.
Yeah, and Brad, fabulous member of the community here, does some great, great work, and actually did some work at UWM over the years.
Great friend of UWM's and our wonderful film department.
You know, what's really neat about these programs, as you consider what you've laid out here, is you've almost bookended art education with that Art Eco Project aimed at kids in the school, and then Ann Basting's work trying to go ahead and create programs for the other end of the life cycle, making sure that just because you're old that you don't ignore the possibility or we don't preclude the possibility of older folks being able to connect to the arts.
The arts can be a really, really vibrant and wonderful part of the life of anybody, any age.
And maybe someday I can learn how to draw. That's my big quest here. You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack. Joining us in the studio is Scott Emmons. Scott is the dean of the Peck School of the Arts, the only school of the arts in the UW system. And we've spent the first half of the program talking about some of the great community initiatives. And we'd like to use our remaining time today to give folks a preview. We're going to kind of put the periscope up here on some of the arts offerings that your folks have between now and into the summer, actually. So what do you want to talk about first? Because I have the feeling there's a long list.
It's always a long list. Spring is when everything happens in the arts. A lot of the projects that the students are working on, a lot of the shows are being put up and are there for people to see. One of the things I hope that listeners will attend is the Kenilworth Open Studios. And that takes place Saturday, April 19th, and that goes from 11 to 2 o'clock. But this is a family-friendly event where family members and their children can go visit the faculty and grad student studios at our Kenilworth location.
And we should first, before we get into the details, let's tell people where that is, because it is sort of a hidden treasure yet, even though it's been around for a bit.
Right. It's on the corner of Prospect Avenue and, let's see, it would be Prospect and Kenilworth.
Yeah. And Farwell, I think, is the abutting street on the other side.
Right on the other side.
Giant, giant building that was remodeled a few years ago and now a big part of the UWM graduate program and art scene.
Right. It's where we have a lot of our faculty art studios, our film studios, and our graduate programs. We also house our guitar program there. And we have some theaters that are in the round there, great presentation spaces. And so it's a great way to go and visit the studios, walk through the different studios, and see what kind of art is going on. There's also going to be an object sale. Object is a student organization that makes jewelry. And they're very smart. These students are very, very smart in that the jewelry they make is affordable. So it's all going to be from the, $10 to $25, $30 price range. There will also be some other kinds of student artwork there for sale, paintings, smaller paintings, and so on. For children also, we always have a button-making activity where the students, little kids, can design buttons that they can make and press and wear. It's always really, really a popular activity for the kids.
So this is sort of like taking what you might envision as an art festival outside during the summer. You're kind of – you have the sort of the art education component of it all under one roof before we get into that outdoor season.
That's right. And it really is one of those moments when people can walk through that studio and look at the films that the students have created, look at the animations that the students have created and the faculty members. And a lot of eyes go, wow, we do that here in Milwaukee?
Yeah. So if I'm a parent or grandparent and I've got kids or grandkids or neighbor kids who seem to have some talent or some interest in expressing themselves through the arts, would this be a good way to get a taste of what they might do down the road in terms of their own education?
Yes, it'll be a great eye-opener to anyone who has an interest in the arts. They can see what our faculty members are doing, what our students are doing, and they can just see how they might fit into some of those activities. There's even a green screen room for making movies and showing how a green screen can be featured in film.
using chroma key, right, where you electronically replace that green with other
with
images.
Other kinds of backgrounds. Yeah. Yeah,
that's the old TV background on me. Only for me, it wasn't very artistic. It was a weather map that that we put up there. What about talking to the faculty members? I mean, you know, will there be an opportunity on this open house to go up and actually find out what it's like to do this for a living or teach this sort of thing?
Oh, yes. Dozens and dozens of faculty members and graduate students will be in their studios doing work and showing their work.
And there are no dumb questions, right? Everybody's allowed to ask whatever they like.
Whatever they want to know.
Okay. Well, let's go over again for those that might be interested in that peek sort of behind the scenes of how art is created. It's called the Kenilworth Open Studios. And when will it take place?
Saturday, April 19th from 11 to 2.
And any registration needed before or can you just walk in off the street?
Just walk right in.
Okay. So, and I guess the other nice way to signal where this is located is if you know where Ma Fisher's is, and who hasn't been up at 3 o'clock sometime early in the morning in their life here in Milwaukee and not needed a really good big breakfast way, way early, it's right across the street.
Right across the street, right. Just south of Ma Fisher's.
Okay. So Kenilworth Open House, April 19th. What else do we have coming up?
I think another really interesting show that's coming up is from our musical program, and it's Urinetown, and that's the Broadway smash hit. And basically the story of Urinetown is that drought, so many years of drought, has made private toilets just an unthinkable thing. And so everybody has to use a public toilet. So guess what? The public toilets are controlled by a big corporation called UGC. You're in good company. So you can see right from that little explanation, it's a comedy. And it's a comedy, though, about very important social issues. And this whole story takes place around a love story that's within these environmental themes. Now, that's going to be April 30th to May 4th. I think it's just going to be a great showcase of our musical theater students.
Talk a little bit more about the theater program, Scott. Where does it stand today? It really has had, you know, a very interesting history, but it's gone through some evolution over the last 10 or 15 years.
Right. It used to be that the theater department was a professional training program, graduate program and undergraduate program, just a very unique program. It turned out, though, that it became difficult because many other institutions were focusing on that same clientele. So in the last 10 years or so, we've changed to be an undergraduate BFA training program. And it's been very, very successful. We have students that are learning how to direct, how to act, and also how to do tech and the behind-the-scenes kind of aspects of theater. We've had students graduate and go to Cirque du Soleil and into some pretty big careers. Just a couple of weeks ago, in fact, in the last couple of weeks, we've had two shows that have been very unique and just a lot of fun. One of those took place in our Kenilworth studio, and it was a piece called Cementville, and it was directed by one of our alumni, Michael Cotley, who was one of the founders of Milwaukee's Young Blood Theater Company. But this was a fun show because it focused on a cast of female wrestlers who were doing the circuit. And so it gave our young lady actors the opportunity to fight and be a little bit raw. It was just a great, great, fun play. A little bit strange, but very fun. Another one that just opened and closed recently was a play called Laughingstock. And Laughingstock is the story of what goes on behind the scenes in Summerstock Theater. All of the problems, basically everything that can go wrong on stage does go wrong on stage. So it was a great play for audience members, a lot of laughs.
Do you attract students or students that perform in these programs? Do they all major in theater, or do you invite or allow non-theater folks who are interested in acting to also be part of the scene?
All of our theater programs have an open cast call. However, I would say probably 95% of the actors on stage will be a part of our theater department.
But for that engineer who just has to let the inner actor or actress in themselves come out, there still is an avenue for them to do so.
There's still an avenue, and there's also a large number of courses, of course, in the theater department that they can take as well.
Great. Anything else coming up that you've got in the Periscope?
A couple of other things coming up. We've got the Fine Arts Quartet that will be final concert of the regular season that will be happening on the 30th of March. And, of course, that's Sunday, and that'll be at 3 p.m. Another thing that's kind of helping us close the year is in our film department, we have a film festival that's called the Underground Film Festival. And this is a student-run film festival and student-curated film festival. So it's a great opportunity for our students to learn what it means to curate a film festival and to get audience interested and to just have that management opportunity.
Boy, and film really has taken off here in Milwaukee, hasn't it, with the film festival that takes place? I mean, you really not only have wonderful people producing films out of the UWM schools, but you also have people learning the business side of making money, creating some monetization for this wonderful art project.
Yes, indeed. And we've had a longstanding partnership with Milwaukee Film. Jonathan Jackson, the CEO of Milwaukee Film, is one of our alumni. And we've got a great working relationship. It benefits our students and it also benefits Milwaukee Film.
Great, great. And how about Innova? Anything left at to see down at that wonderfully creative workshop, also back down at the Kenilworth?
There are two shows that are running at the same time, starting March 19th and running through mid-May. And one of those is in connection with the National Council on Education for the Ceramic Arts Conference that we'll be hosting in Milwaukee. So it'll be a display of ceramic arts. And then there's another one that's going to be artists Mendy and Keith Obadike. And this is all about the connection. It's a multimedia installation exploring race and DNA of all things. And it tells the stories of five different different DNA stories, I guess. So it'll talk about the politics. It'll look at the politics, racial politics of genetic researchers. It even tracks the story of Barack Obama's genetic code. So it's a very interesting multimedia show.
And that also, again, is located in the Kenilworth facility, the one where you've got the big open house coming up on April 19th. Lots of people, I think, in Milwaukee may not have experienced Innova, but this may be a good opportunity for them to peek in and see what that facility has to offer.
Right. The Innova Gallery is Milwaukee's only gallery that's totally devoted to contemporary artwork.
Yeah, and coupled that with the other art museums in town, and boy, we help cover the bases, don't we, in terms of providing a really holistic, amazing array of art that you can sample, in part because of UWM's presence and involvement.
Right. Milwaukee has an art culture that's much, much bigger than our size. You know, I think the arts in Milwaukee look a whole lot more like the arts in a bigger city like Atlanta. Lot of opportunities in all of the different art forms.
Wow. Well, amazing stuff coming up. Congratulations on all the good work with the community partnerships, and good luck as we finish off another academic year with some amazing performances. And again, a reminder to listeners, Saturday, April 19th, the Kenilworth Open House. If you'd like to see hundreds of students and faculty members creating art, talking about art, it's a good place to come and peek under the tent, right, and see whether you could discover maybe your own inner artist there.
That's right. See the arts from backstage.
There you go. Well, that takes care of this week's edition of UWM Today. Joining us, Scott Emmons, the Dean of the Peck School of the Arts. We'll be back next week at the same time, so you take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You have been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.